You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Following the largest turnout at Waitangi commemorations in modern history, I spoke to professional teaching fellow at the University of Auckland Law School, Iru Kapakingi, Te Opori Napuhi Waikato Tainui and Te Whanau Apanui about his impression of what went down and how members of government were received. Here is that interview. You were at Waitangi. Can you tell me about your experience and what your impression was of the commemorations this year?
Yeah, I was there. I was at Waitangi and Waitangi week as opposed to Waitangi day, because I was involved in a number of kaupapa leading up to the 6th, and yeah, it was an amazing experience on the 6th, which is the day that most people attend. It had to be probably the biggest turnout I've ever seen, and I've been going to Waitangi for Waitangi Day since I was little, for the greater part of the last 20 years, and it was amazing just to see the turnout, and I think it was symbolic of the fact that many Māori are coming back, I guess, to the Māori tanga and to the birthplace of our rights as tangata whenua. But in saying that, it wasn't just Māori in attendance. I saw many tangata tiriti, tangata tauriwi, who were there supporting the kaupapa. Yeah, and it was a beautiful day. That was my impression.
Like you said, there were many people there and more than we've seen in modern history taking part in a hīkoi protest to Waitangi grounds. What do you think this mass attendance says to the government about the public's attitudes and perceptions of their policies?
Yeah, I think that it showed opposition but to the stance of the current government against Te Tiriti and against the principles that have been developed out of treaty jurisprudence over the last few years. But it wasn't opposition in a negative sense. I think it was empowering opposition, and it was a display of the strength and numbers of those who are protectors of Te Tiriti or Waitangi, and the masses that attended, I think, yeah, signified just the sheer and significant support and belief in Te Tiriti as the founding document of Aotearoa. So, yeah, if the government can take anything away from what they experienced, it's that the people, the majority of the people are in support of Te Tiriti. And I think given Christopher Luxon's confirmation yesterday that National won't be supporting the Treaty Principles Bill past the first reading was a direct result of what he felt on the day at Waitangi.
For those who might not know, can you explain what the difference is between Te Tiriti and the Treaty Principles?
Oh, a couple of ways. So I guess first it's important to distinguish the two documents. So there's the first document, which is the primary document that has mana, and that is Te Tiriti. It's the document written in Te Reo Māori that my tūpuna ancestors understood, and the document that was signed by over 500 rangatira, 500 hapū. And Te Tiriti is a document unto itself. It's not a version of anything. It's its own document, and that's what I refer to as the rangatira document. There's the English draft that only about 30 rangatira signed, and probably none understood properly because Te Reo Māori was the primary language at the time in the 1800s. And that's what I refer to as the coloniser document. So the Te Tiriti, the rangatira document, maintained our power and our rangatira whanga in Aotearoa. The coloniser document, the treaty, tries to take that away, but that document, in comparison to Te Tiriti, does not have mana. Now the treaty principles are kind of their own thing unto themselves. They're an attempt, I guess, by the courts and the Waitangi Tribunal over the last few decades to kind of reconcile the different understandings between these distinct documents in a way that may have a genuine effect in making decisions in court. And they've been referred to in a number of different statutes. Now, the treaty principles are kind of, they can differ depending on who you ask or what forum you're standing in. The Waitangi Tribunal sort of has its own version of principles. The main courts have their own version of the principles. But, yeah, I try not to get into those too much because essentially the principles don't meet the high watermark of Te Tiriti, of the Rangatira document. And you might say that many Māori academics would agree that the treaty principles need to be reassessed. And in fact, the Waitangi Tribunal did say that in its latest Te Paparahi e Te Laki report. But the fact of the matter is any reassessment or re-evaluation or rewriting of what those principles look or feel like, the pen must be in the hands of the tangata whenua of Te Iwi Māori as opposed to thrown into a referendum process, which is really the tyranny of the majority.
What is the legality of ACT's interpretation of the treaty principles and effectively its interpretation of Tiriti as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. Even if I stepped away from the treaty context and if you look at just general contract law, right, the Pākehā law states that the meaning of words within a contract are shaped by the intentions of the party and the context within which that contract was written, agreed to, and then signed. So that's Pākehā law. This is me applying a Pākehā law lens. And even by that standard, what David Seymour is attempting to do through his treaty principles bill is inconsistent with the generally accepted legal method in Pākehā contract law to interpret a contract generally and within the context that it was signed. The treaty principles bill essentially lollypicks certain lines from Te Tiriti and interprets those in complete isolation from the context within Te Tiriti was formed and signed. The other layer of wrongdoing, I guess, is that those David Seymour and his crew who are attempting to interpret Te Tiriti o Waitangi, they wouldn't even know how to say, I need to go to the toilet in Te Reo Māori. But they're trying to interpret a historical document that's written in probably the most native form of Te Reo Māori. And that requires a certain level of expertise, none of whom those people, and none of David Seymour's advisors, I would say, have that expertise. Nor does he. This attempt to completely dilute the meaning and intentions of the Te Tiriti o Waitangi is illegal in a Pākehā sense, and it's also hair, it's not right in a tikanga Māori sense as well.
We've seen that National has stated that they will not support the Principles Bill past its first reading, but ACT has asserted that they believe they can get National to change their mind. What do you think might happen in this instance if there is a disagreement between parties in the government?
It could actually blow up the coalition arrangement. Whether David Seymour is willing to go that far, I'm not sure. And it's never happened before, right? A coalition government has never broken down to the point where there needs to either be renegotiation or another election, and I don't think any coalition government would want that stain on their reputation. To be the only government to date that is that could have held together a coalition arrangement, but it's possible. Theoretically, it could happen. Practically, I don't think it would happen. But the fact of the matter is, whether it's I'm going to describe Chris Wilkinson's recent statement as a half win. I think it's good that he's clarified now that they're not going to support it past the first reading, the treaty principles bill. But the fact of the matter is, the idea has already entered the consciousness of the nation and has already entered the discourse around what Te Tiriti and the relationship that Te Tiriti forms means. And that in itself is a problem, and in many ways the horse is boxed on that. But how do we remedy that? Well, it's essentially about re-educating Aotearoa, citizens of Aotearoa, as to what Te Tiriti means and the relationship that it forms. So even if we don't see a formal legal referendum in the next 3 years, we've already entered into what I call a social referendum, which is really where society are now starting to debate the realities of sexuality. The debate in itself is not, there's nothing wrong with that. Debating matters of opinion is actually natural, but debating matters of fact is dangerous, and that's the territory that we're in at the moment, and I'm still very cautious of the misinformation that's going to manipulate the thinking of many of the citizens of Aotearoa, Pākehā and Māori included. And so it's my role as an educator to rebalance that and to correct that.
The government has been accused of degrading the concept of tino rangatiratanga. Can you tell our listeners who might not be aware what this concept is?
Tino rangatiratanga, to me, is a description, or it's a word that aligns with the idea of sovereignty and being the sovereign of your society, your people, having absolute political power and control over laws, resource. That is what tino rangatiratanga encapsulates.
Why is tino rangatiratanga beneficial for everyone in Aotearoa, not just Māori?
Well, tino rangatiratanga was the condition by which Pākehā could make their home here, right? So that's the condition by which Pākehā were allowed to come into this country and continue to benefit from Aotearoa as their home. So asking whether it benefits everyone is kind of besides the point. But in saying that, what is good for Māori is good for Aotearoa, and the Māori philosophy of mana and power is starkly different to that of Pākehā, the Pākehā perception of power and definition of power, because Māori are a collective society, right? So the philosophy of Māori well-being is based on collective well-being, and there are obligations of manaakitanga and aroha that pervade the regulation of Māori society, especially towards manuhiri. So if we think about it in that respect, tiriti, and to use the words of Rauri Waititi, a tiriti-centric Aotearoa is how Māori treat Pākehā on a marae, right? We provide care, we provide safety, and we provide a space where Pākehā feel welcome, right? So the cost of Māori power is not Pākehā power. That was never how Māori society operated. But I think Pākehā, there are a number of Pākehā who fear that if there is a rebalancing of power where Māori have political say and decision-making power, that will come at a cost to their own well-being, which is not true. Te Tiriti is a document of truth, and is a document of power. The truth in Te Tiriti is that Mai Tupuna never ceded sovereignty to the British Crown. Our Tupuna declared, Mai Tupuna declared their sovereignty in 1835 through Hauka Putanga, and Te Tiriti did nothing to take that away. All it did was provide a space for Pākehā to live here and to be regulated and controlled in a way that kept everyone tote or safe in Aotearoa. And that truth has been radicalised. The truth that Mai Tupuna never ceded sovereignty has been radicalised, and that puts my people in a very dangerous position. But I will keep saying it until everyone believes it and everyone knows it to be true, that we never ceded sovereignty.
That was Professional Teaching Fellow at the University of Auckland Law School, Iru Kapakingi, discussing what happened at Waitangi this year.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.